Welcome to Intentional Marriage 101. I'm Sam.
And I'm Rebecca.
And we're sure glad you're with us today. And we've been for several weeks now talking about love. What is love? What's the definition of love? And how do you go about loving? So in this series, we've spent an entire program on each of the seven laws of love that we've talked about in the past. Knowing how to love is that important. It's very important. Everyone talks about love, and there are plenty of movies and novels about love, but rarely does anyone really teach you what love is. That's why we've decided to spend so much time going into the details of how to love. Love is more than those goosey-goosey goosebump emotions. Emotions you feel when you're getting to know each other and deciding, is this the one and only that I want to spend my life with? Love is more than the excitement you feel on your wedding day and on the honeymoon that follows. We feel it would be good for all of us to study more details about what love really is, so when the twitter-pated emotions of love are not there, then how do we stand true in our marriages? We are always asking you to be students of marriage, so we decided we needed to all be students of love. So we spent 7 weeks talking about all the aspects and qualities of true agape love, especially as applied to our marriages. Then last week we decided to start helping you apply what we've been learning. So we talked about how a husband needs to love. His role of love are different than the wife's roles. We hope you've enjoyed these programs and that you've learned from them. We hope and pray that our love quotient has increased as we have increased your knowledge and understanding of the many aspects of love. Honestly, we've never heard anyone teach about all that love entails. It has really helped our own marriage, so we pray it has helped yours too.
We want to just quickly review what the seven laws of love are that we've discussed here on this program. There is surely more, because God is love, and we cannot ever know all there is to know about God and His fullness. But we're doing our best to unfold the fullness of love for you. These seven laws that we have discussed are, number one, love requires commitment.
Number two is love selflessly sacrifices.
Number three, love speaks the truth.
And number four is love conquers fear.
Number five was love offers grace.
And number six, love brings healing.
And the last was love lasts forever. If you missed any of these powerful broadcasts about love, please go to herdingtoharvesting.com/marriage. Once you are on our site, please scroll down to the bottom to find the programs about love. We don't want you to miss these. They are life-changing. Folks, they can really help your marriage to dive into all the aspects of love. We've had a lot of feedback about how helpful these programs have been to some listeners, so if you've missed it, we invite you to please go back to herdingtoharvesting.com/marriage.
Our foundation scripture is this: three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. So remember that love does not just come from the mouth, it comes from the heart. Let the love of Jesus that's in your heart permeate out into your own life and into your marriage, especially. Let it ooze out through your facial expressions, your tone of voice, your words, and your actions. See, love is more than an emotion.
When you realize God's deep love for you, then you will be able to pour out that love on others. A loving heart is bold.
A loving heart does not make excuses of why it cannot love.
Folks, it's time for a change. We're asking you to allow the love of God to change you and change your marriage, change your home atmosphere, and compel you to make sacrifices and extend grace to others, especially to your spouse, since this is about marriage.
Someone said, we love others best when we love God the most. In 1 John 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, my little children, let us not love just by abstract theory that we only talk about, but love is a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. We know that the truth lives within us because we demonstrate love in action.
A sign that you are in close relationship with Jesus is that you love people. You act loving towards people. You speak to them in loving, kind ways. your facial expressions towards them, the way you handle situations, those all demonstrate your level of love. And of course, that especially is focused on your spouse and your children, because they get you at your worst and your best. They have you most of the time. And so how you demonstrate love right there in your home demonstrates how your love quotient really is.
When your life radiates with love of Jesus, that supernatural love will begin to flow into your relationships. When you truly learn to love like Jesus does, then your relationship will become exciting, especially your marriage relationship. We can become two servants in love when we're loving with God's love.
1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Jesus said in Matthew 22:36-39, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor, which is your spouse, as yourself."
Your spouse is your closest neighbor. Let us learn to treat them like queens and kings, with the love of Jesus showing through us. This will make others want what we have when we have the love of Jesus in our hearts and a lot of heaven in our marriages. People are watching you, observing your marriage. If you're a great evangelist or a Sunday school teacher, but your marriage is a mess, then something is greatly wrong. We want to help you get this marriage thing turned around for your happiness and God's glory. Your marriage does not have to stay blah.
Romans 13:8-10 gives us a little more direction on loving and is beautifully stated in the Passion Translation. "Don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and every other commandment can be summed up in these words: love and value others the same way you love and value yourself." Verse 10, "Love makes it impossible to harm another, so love fulfills all that the law requires."
Remember last week we told you that Jesus is the standard for life and relationships. And that includes the standard for how to be a husband and how to be a wife. Jesus was honest, showed unconditional love, and he selflessly served. If you wrote down those three traits and rated yourself, how would you measure up? Am I honest? Am I above reproach? That means not sneaky and not telling half-truths, or some call it little white lies.
Number 2, we're evaluating ourselves. Do I show unconditional love to God, to my spouse, to my children?
Number 3, do I serve my spouse selflessly? Last week we focused on the roles of the husband as demonstrated by Jesus and the way he treats us, his bride, the church. Today we want to continue on focusing on the roles of the wife. In a marriage, neither spouse is more important and should not have more power. The husband and wife just have very different roles, different assignments by God, who is the designer and creator of marriage. If we strive to be a blessing to our spouse and live according to God's standard, our marriage will thrive, and it will bring glory to God. While we go on this break, evaluate yourself and look and see, am I honest? Do I show unconditional love? And do I serve my spouse selflessly? Don't go away. Don't touch that dial.
Be ashamed. Now wouldn't that be a shame?
Charles Schulz and his cartoon strip titled Peanuts did a cute story featuring Lucy, who was determined to change the world. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. In the first panel of this particular cartoon, Lucy says, "If I were in charge of the world, I would change everything." Poor Charlie Brown looks at her and blinks and says rather meekly, "That wouldn't be easy. Where would you start?" Without a hesitation, she looks at him and says, "I would start with you." Hey, don't you be a Lucy. Don't be so busy trying to change others. Maybe everything doesn't need changing. Personally, I kind of like Charlie Brown the way he is.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Today's programming is brought to you in part by Smith's Sitgo Service Station. Located on Highway 65 in Leslie, Arkansas, Smith's Sitgo is a source of vehicle tires and fuel, as well as automotive and tire repair. Smith's Sitgo Service Station is open Monday through Fridays from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. Visit www.smithsitgostation.com or to speak with a sales associate, call 870-447-2553.
North Central Collision and Auto Salvage is a sponsor and part of this hour's programming. Located on Highway 66, east of Oxley, Arkansas, North Central repairs vehicles such as cars, trucks, and SUVs, and is a supplier of recycled automotive parts. Their hours of service are from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. More information is available at 870-447-3261 or 870-447-3040.
If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Laws will be made, not for the public good so much as for selfish or local purposes. Corrupt or incompetent men will be appointed to execute the laws. The public revenues will be squandered on unworthy men, and the rights of the citizen will be violated or disregarded. Noah Webster, author of The First American Speller, and the First Dictionary.
Real Talk. Truths for Today's World is brought to you by Family Hope Radio.
Thank you, Harness Boots and Shoes, located at 110 North Willow in downtown Harrison, Arkansas, for your financial support of KCGS 88.1 FM, Family Hope Radio.
Welcome back to Intentional Marriage with Sam and Rebecca. During that break, did you spend some thought time evaluating yourself? How are you doing in your marriage? You know, until we evaluate something, we can't fix a problem if we don't know we have a problem. So it's really important to partner with the Holy Spirit and say, okay, what kind of spouse am I really? And then you might even want to venture out and ask your spouse, do I love you selflessly? Do I communicate well? Do I love you unconditionally? And see what they have to say. How do they feel about it? Because your opinion might not be how they are comprehending it. And it's important for you two to communicate about these things.
The Bible has countless lessons for marriage, but the one passage most specifically focused on godly womanhood in the home is found in Proverbs chapter 31. It gives us a good description of what God intends for a wife to be. So let's read Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 23 says, her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders.
We're going to talk about several different roles of the wife and take them from these Proverbs 31. So this first one, her husband is well known at the city gates. And from that we get that a wife brings respect to her husband. And notice it doesn't just say she respects him, she brings him respect. That's different. The way that we relate to our husbands in an honoring and respectful way not only affects the two of us, but the way we relate to him around others and how we talk about him to others can bring respect or dishonor to him. See, it's bringing respect. It's like handing him it to him on a platter, because the way that we relate to him, other people pick up the atmosphere of who we feel he is, ladies, and then they will begin responding to him the same way often. People do observe your insinuations and your tone of voice. They observe our body language when the two of us are in public together. It's very obvious whether we honor him or not, ladies. You can't hide it. If you don't honor and respect your husband, it screams loudly and other people can see it. Number two area is we set the atmosphere of the home, ladies.
In Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 27, She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness.
Whoa, those verses are packed right there. Ladies, we create the mood and climate of our home. There will be troubles and chaos sometimes because we live in a fallen, wicked world where things happen. People get sick, we have accidents, we have disagreements because we're all flesh. But our reaction to these things can settle down things and bring back peace and joy. That's our responsibility.
When your husband comes home at the end of a stressful day, is he met with a joyful wife and a peaceful atmosphere?
The wife is the heart of the home. And ladies, we are the person most capable of creating that mood and climate in the home. It's our nest, you know. Even though a lot of other little people or just you and your husband live there, it's still kind of our responsibility to set the atmosphere in the home. So in order to create that joyful, peaceful climate in your home, you need to have that climate in your heart.
Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken."
Ladies, if you're pitiful, discouraged, depressed, always acting hurt, your husband may feel rejected and even repulsed by you. He may feel you are manipulating him to get your way. So whether you're genuine in your downtroddenness or you're manipulating, it still has an effect that puts a cloud in the house. It's kind of like Pigpen running around with a little cloud of dust around him. Well, if you're always depressed and discouraged and grumpy, you're like Pigpen. You have a cloud around you, and it doesn't help your marriage or your home. If you regularly act as if your spirit is broken or crushed, your husband may respond with anger because he's frustrated. He may pull away from you in his frustration, and so you think, well, if I'm pitiful, he'll come and want to hug on me and make me feel better, but it really can have the opposite effect. It really can make him go, ooh, I just need to stay away from her because she frustrates me.
He does not know how to fix you, and if you're angry, bitter, or resentful, how do you expect him to respond? Are flies drawn to vinegar or to honey? Of course, we're teaching you guys to respond as Jesus would, with unconditional love, and that's your responsibility.
But ladies, our husband can't fix us. He cannot make us happy. God's will for us is to have a merry heart and a cheerful countenance, like we read in that verse, which will cause you to have a glow. That will draw your husband to you, refreshing him, no matter how stressed and tired he is when he comes around. If you are radiating the love of God and that cheerfulness, that merry heart, he will enjoy you. Being a bubbly, cheerful, joyful spouse is the best medicine to maintain and even restore a struggling marriage.
Make a decision right now to break the poor me habit. Today, put it down as sin and rebellion. Repent to God and to your spouse. Ask God to fill you with his supernatural joy. Tomorrow, wake up with joy and peace in your heart and home.
And that goes for both men and women, because we all have the responsibility to have that relationship with God of supernatural joy and peace. And ladies, I wanted to say the one thing I like to do is I'd like to ask God, Lord, what can I do today to make my honey smile? Or what can I do today that would help my Samuel feel honored and respected? Because God knows what's inside your husband and knows what his need is to fill up that love tank. The Holy Spirit will help you and tell you if you'll ask him for help. If you have trouble walking in joy, which many people do, how about doing a Bible word study on the word joy? It's found 167 times in the Bible. If you write down and memorize your favorite verses about joy, that'll give you something to go on. God's word is effective and can change your life. It never returns void, you know. As you read and memorize verses on joy and meditate on the word joy in God's word, real joy will begin to grow within your heart. There's a saying, what we focus on, we become. So if you focus on everything that's going wrong, every way you're frustrated, you're going to be a grumbly, self-centered, pitiful person. But if you focus on the joy of the Lord, and you're quoting those verses and rejoicing in him, even if you don't feel like it, you're focusing on it, and that's what you will become. You will ooze with joy, and that is so uplifting to everyone around you.
Ooze?
Mm-hmm. Every morning, ladies, let the first thing your husband sees on your face be a gentle smile, even if your eyes are closed. He will sense that you're contented and happy. And then as you go through the day, rejoice, praise the Lord, thank God out loud for your blessings, saying, dance around the house with your broom or your mop. You can pretend like that's your dance partner, and you've seen movies where they'll do that. Well, you know, you can do all kinds of things to be joyful. Being lighthearted will lift your spirits, and your children will see the demonstration of your joyful life, and they'll join in. They're learning from you how to do life, you know. They will often reflect what you're releasing into the atmosphere of your home.
If you're grumpy, they're likely to be grumpy and fussy. If you're joyful, it can transform your home for everyone. And if you have a legitimate reason to feel upset or rejected, hurt or discouraged, then making an intentional decision to be merry and to have a cheerful countenance become a sacrifice of worship and praise to the Lord. In Psalm chapter 107, verse 22, it says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing.
Now notice that tells us to do that. It doesn't say, now if you're having a great day and you're feeling good, then have thanksgiving and then rejoice. No, it just says do the sacrifice, which means it doesn't necessarily feel right or feel good, but you do it anyway because God told us to, and there is always rewards when we obey God. In Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, or all you people, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know Psalm 100, that's a great psalm. Quote it often, right there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't say if you feel like it, it doesn't say if everything's great. So you do it right in the midst of your storm. It's more like a command.
On down it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. So think of ways you can make a joyful noise during the day. And how can you serve him with gladness? Establish a habit of being thankful and of praising him. This shows joy. Write some things down if you need to keep you on track.
We're asking you to make an intentional decision to flip from being grumpy or moody and self-absorbed to being thankful, joyful, and have a praising heart. This is to men and women both. This will certainly shift the atmosphere of your home and marriage. And ladies, your husband will be so attracted to the joy and peace that you are carrying, like a fly is to honey. Proverbs 15, verse 15, at the second part says, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast.
When you have a merry heart, you're honoring God and your husband. It releases the joy of the Lord into the home atmosphere.
Now, the third role that we have as a wife is to be our husband's helpmeet. We're to work hard to support him. In Proverbs 31, verses 15 through 18, it tells us about this, that she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Evaluate yourself, ladies, to see, do you get up or do you sleep half the day? Are you a lazy wife or are you full of energy and serving your husband, serving your household, serving your family? This says she goes to inspect a field and buys it. Well, ask God, how does that apply to me in the way that our life is? That might be your homeschooling, say, or you've got a job, or you're just a keeper at home, or maybe you're a Bible study teacher at church. Whatever you are doing, are you inspecting it and running it well? Are you running the details of your life, being energetic and strong and being a hard worker? Are your dealings profitable or do you waste a lot of time? Do you sit in front of the TV and waste your time on soap operas, or do you sit in front of video games, or what do you do with your time? That's kind of what this is talking about, is being a person who accomplishes a lot.
So think about those things. We'll be back in a flash. Don't go away. Don't touch that dial. You hear?
Be a shame.
The Petit Jean Electric tip of the day reminds you that overhead electrical lines may look harmless, but are like a coiled snake. If you get too close, they will get you. When moving or working on ladders and scaffolding, be aware of overhead electrical lines in the area. Position them so they will be away from and will not fall into wires. If work is going to be near electric wires, call your local electric company for assistance. This tip of the day was brought to you by the Pettigene Electric Cooperative.
Welcome to A Marriage Moment. Do you find yourself going through motions each day without any greater meaning, unmotivated and unrestrained? Living this way too long results in a meaningless life and the failure to transfer anything positive to our children. Don't leave your future and the future of your generations that follow you up to chance. Ask God to give you a vision for your marriage and family, then pursue that vision with everything you have. He will be faithful to guide you there.
The Marshall Church of Christ works to model itself after a New Testament church. No gimmicks, no entertainment, no priority on social events. The priority is on God and His Son, Jesus. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. The living Word is our standard and our guide. Please come visit or ask for a Bible study. Please message us on Facebook at Marshall, Arkansas Church of Christ.
No part of our life can be left unprotected or exposed. The Bible doesn't tell us to choose 4 or 5 out of these pieces of armor, whichever ones we want, and to implement them. No, we are told to put on, notice, the whole armor of God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Spiritual Warfare, Armor of the Believer, next time on Turning Point.
I am well aware of what Mr. Whitaker said, and I assure you that I shall not resort to the shameful name-calling that he denounced. I leave that type of incessant bantering to others.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, we're shining the spotlight on an Adventures in Odyssey drama, The War of the Words.
You see? That's it right there! You act like you're not talking about me, but you're really talking about me! You're just hiding it behind your words.
I do not hide behind my words, Miss Kendall. If I had something to communicate to you, I would do so directly. I simply wish to avoid petty verbal battles.
Yeah, well, you and me both, chum. I got better things to do. I'll see you later.
Farewell, my faithful companion.
Adios, amigo.
Au revoir, mon ami.
You'll find the link to the entire Odyssey drama today at familyminute.org.
This is Sam and Rebecca on Intentional Marriage 101, and we're back.
We are talking to wives mostly today, and so husbands, if you're listening, please don't poke your wife and say listen to that, because that won't make them feel cherished.
It might bruise a rib, and you'd have to take her to the doctor.
And it would also bruise her heart, because then she would feel criticized. And,
then you can't take her to the doctor.
Yeah, anyway. Some wives work outside the home helping with finances for various reasons. We know if you're a single woman, you probably have to do this and you have no choice. But whether you work outside the home because of choice or necessity, the important thing is your attitude. We know some people are professional women because they love what they do, and that's good. We all have different callings in life and different assignments by God, and the big deal is obeying God and being where He wants you to be. And some women, that's in the workplace. But be careful to not become full of self-pity or resentfulness if it's not really your choice. If it's not what you want to be doing, but through necessity, you just have to. Be sure to forgive whoever or whatever situation put you in that workplace. And then ask God for the strength and peace to be able to fulfill what you have to do with joy in your heart. You know, it's all about how we think. We can go, ho-hum, ho-hum, I hate this, or we can accept it and say, Lord, I need you. Thank you for your strength. Give me your joy today, and He will. Make an intentional decision to allow God's peace and joy to sustain you, even in the hardest times, ladies. And this goes to men, too. It can be applied to anyone. If you work all day, and then you come home to children who need you, and a home that still needs care, it can become a really heavy load to carry. I know that I've done it. Back when my first husband left me and was off gallivanting, I had 3 babies under 2.5. I had twin girls and then a brand new baby, and I had to go to work full time, and boy, I worked 8 hours a day, and then I came home and I had a baby to nurse and 3 babies to bathe and cook for, and you know, the whole deal. All you moms know how hard that is. And I just thought sometimes I was going to die. And I wish someone had talked to me like I'm talking to you, because I had no one telling me, do this with joy. Now, I think that I did, because I had such joy in my children. But boy, was it a heavy load to carry. I do understand any of you that feel like, oh, this load is so hard. I just don't know if I can make another day. You can. God will help you. He'll give you peace and joy in the midst of that storm, in this hard time in your life. He will sustain you if you'll lean on him. That's the big deal, is lean on him instead of turning to eating food or starving yourself. Some people just don't bother to eat because they get too tired, and that's not good either. You need to take good care of yourself. There'll be those days when your mind and your body are feeling so tired and you just feel weak. Like, I can't put another foot in front of the other. I am just at my end. I remember how that felt. I just thought, I don't even know if I can do this, but here I am. I made it through, and you will too. Maybe you're so exhausted from a crazy busy week at work or dealing with stressful health issues on top of other responsibilities. Some women struggle with migraine headaches. Boy, it's hard to go to work and do all the things we need to do if you're struggling with migraines or fibromyalgia or any other thing that can plague our bodies. And I encourage you to go to God even for healing, because he does heal us. In either case, you could possibly be suffering from a case of burnout. And we want to encourage you, don't let yourself get to that place. Really turn your heart into God. Play scripture with music while you sleep. Let God fill up your tank when there's nobody else there filling it, when you just feel like, I can't do this. When you're feeling down and out, it is good to look to your family and loved ones and close friends for encouragement. Don't let yourself become isolated. But you also need to look to God and his word, the Bible, because it is what provides help to pull you out of your slump. People can help you and encourage you, and you need to let them, because we need relationships. But God is the one who really can stir up your heart and help the deep things within you that are struggling. The word contains the truth, and the truth sets us free. It contains hope and healing. Reading or listening to the word can remind you that with a little faith, strength can always be found, even when you feel so overwhelmed that you think you can't go on. I encourage you, there's a lot of YouTube videos that play the word, and you can listen to it even while you're driving back and forth to work or while you're cleaning that house. Whatever your burden is to bear, if you feel that it's a burden, let the Lord fill that time. And guard your self-talk, because our self-talk can turn inward, feeling so sorry for ourselves, and that becomes an ugly spiral downward. It can lead you into depression and really a bad place. Don't let yourself do that. Folks, we have intentional decisions to make about how we're going to walk through this thing called life. And we all have some hard things. We hit some hard areas. We all have different situations for all different reasons. But the good thing is God is faithful no matter what that situation is. And whether you're feeling mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically weak, or all of those, you can find strength and encouragement and peace and calm to face your world when you lean on God and his word. It really works. God is true. He's not a liar. He's faithful, and he never changes.
We want to share a few verses that can encourage you on days when you're struggling. For any reason, please get a pen and paper and write down the references so you can go back and read them, and maybe write them on a 3x5 card to have them handy instead of running for some type of self-medication or eating something, like I always go to the refrigerator when I'm trying to find something and can't, or eating something you don't really need. Pull out your 3x5 card and read them out loud over to yourself.
We're going to personalize them for you. If you're reading them in the scripture, it might say we or you, but I don't think the Lord minds it when we just apply it to us and say I. Don't get upset if we've changed the words in some of these, but God wants us to take that word and apply it to our lives. So let's start with Proverbs 31, verse 25. I am clothed with strength and dignity. I can laugh at the days to come.
Now Romans chapter 15, verse 5. May God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give me the same attitude of mind toward others that Christ Jesus had.
That's asking for the mind of Christ towards others and towards our situation. Then there's John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Of course, this is Jesus talking. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's a promise, folks.
In Psalm chapter 121, verses 1 and 2, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Then Nehemiah 8, verse 10, Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is my strength.
And now Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Sounds like a promise to me.
Amen.
And there's a little counseling there. He gives us two directions, don't fear and don't be dismayed. And the reasons he says not to do that, for I am your God and I will be with you. Those are promises. Lean into those when you're feeling like I'm all alone. You're never all alone. God is there. Just let him be there with you. Then Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him.
Joshua 1:9 says, Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Notice this is a different book, but it has the same directions. Don't be frightened, which is fearful, and don't be dismayed. That's the same thing that it said right up there in Isaiah. Joshua said the same thing. That seems to be God's message to us. Don't be frightened and dismayed, and don't let life overcome you. Then Isaiah 12:2 says, Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. There it is again, addressing fear. The Lord is the strength of my song. He has become my salvation.
In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless.
Are you feeling weak or powerless? There's our source. Don't go medicate yourself. Don't think working out or doing this and that and the other is the answer. Those are good and healthy, but they're not the answer for this need in our soul. Okay, 1 Peter 5:10, And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast.
Psalm 73:26, My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
I love this. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength.
And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one.
So if you're feeling vulnerable, who's your protector? Do you have to protect yourself? God is our protector. He says that. And he keeps saying over and over, he will strengthen us. 1 Chronicles 16:11, Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. See, and that's a decision we have to make, to seek his face always.
And now 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong.
Ephesians 6, verse 10, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We've shared all these scriptures with you, hoping that you did write them down, and we hope that you will go back and let this be like your pill bottle. When you need a booster, don't go eat some food, don't go take a pill or drink some alcohol. Take out your 3x5 cards and read the word, folks. This will strengthen you. It will help you. It will take you through those hard times when you think, I just can't do this anymore. And this applies to both men and women. This is not just for women. God loves us, and he is there for us. All we have to do is reach out to him.
Don't go away. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about how a wife should look her best for her husband.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. There's something very special and powerful about establishing a daily prayer time. For years, I battled getting up early in the morning. I know that any time is acceptable to God, but I felt him directing me to establish a prayer time when the day before me was a clean slate. The Bible often refers to prayer in the morning. David said in Psalm 5, verse 3, In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Once I made the choice to get up early, it became a joy. I can't wait to meet the Lord in my designated place. Listen to me. He's waiting for you to get up. Meet him in the morning. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Today's programming is sponsored in part by Derrickson Lumber and Hardware. Located on Highway 65 North in Marshall, Arkansas, Derrickson Lumber provides building materials and supplies, such as lumber, paint, and plumbing parts. Their hours of business are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. till 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 7 a.m. till 12. More information is available at 870-448-3312.
We all want and need quiet, restful sleep at night. However, sometimes sickness, worry, or concerns can keep us awake deep into those nocturnal hours. For such time as this, Family Hope Radio continuously airs Bible reading from midnight till 5 a.m. every night to refresh the heart and comfort the soul. If you are not able to listen to the radio, you can also stream the Word of God during the late night hours from the free Family Hope Radio app or by logging on to familyhoperadio.com.
And now here's National Right to Life President Carol Tobias with today's pro-life perspective.
No matter how long you have been pro-life or have been active in the Right to Life movement, or if you are not active in the pro-life movement yet, this is your moment in time. This is your call to action, to make a difference, to help save lives. We will do whatever we can to make sure you are ready to make the difference between life and death. A great way to start or to get re-energized is by attending the annual pro-life educational event of the year. The National Right to Life Conference will be in Arlington, Virginia, just across the river from Washington, D.C., on June 28th and 29th. You will learn what you need to know and do and how you can be most effective with your efforts and meet other amazing people. For information and registration, go to nrlconvention.com. Join us in Arlington.
This has been Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life at nrlc.org.
We're back, and as we left, we promised that we were going to be talking about a wife looks best for her husband.
We know that our outward appearance is not the most important thing, but we must remember that men are very visual. That includes our husbands.
It is an important thing, just not the most.
Right. And think about how you dolled yourself up when you were dating him. You looked your best for him. He was going to come over and get you, and you looked your prettiest because it mattered. Well, ladies, it still matters. He might not ever say it, but he would greatly appreciate it if you would still care about your looks and do the best you can to look lovely for him. It will honor him and your marriage for you to look your best. In Proverbs 31:22b, it tells us, she dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. That means she didn't wear her pajamas all day.
Oh.
Or her sweats all the time. I mean, there's a time for that, but that's not all the time. When he's getting ready to come home from work, maybe spiff yourself up a little bit. Comb your hair, brush your teeth, put on a little whatever that makes you look good and makes you smell good, that whatever he likes, and do that for him. I know that many women use these verses in 1 Peter 3:3-4 to make an excuse for not caring for their outward appearance. These verses say, let your true beauty come from your inner personality, not a focus on the external. Okay, right. For lasting beauty comes from a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is precious in God's sight and is much more important than the outward adornment of elaborate hair, jewelry, and fine clothes. Yes, absolutely, God is looking at our inward beauty, and people look at it too, and that includes our husband. Notice it says a gentle and peaceful spirit, and that's what we've spent a lot of time talking about today. That gentle and peacefulness within you sets the mood for your home and your marriage. But because something is important does not mean that nothing else is. For example, I need to brush my teeth for good dental hygiene and for my health all the time, every day, several times a day maybe, so that's very important. But because that's important, does it mean that it's not important for me to get enough rest and drink plenty of water? You see, one does not negate the other. Just because it's important to brush my teeth doesn't mean that it's not important for me to drink water. That's what people kind of do with this verse. They say, well, because it says we're supposed to be beautiful inside, that means we don't need to worry about the outside. And that's not what that means. It just means the inside of us, who we are, the spirit that we carry is more important. But the other is important too, ladies. We do need to pay more attention to our inward beauty, because that scripture tells us to. But you know, when you're fixed up nicely, it does increase your confidence, your health, and your sense of well-being. And your husband loves it when you look nice for him.
Amen, amen, amen. It is a way of saying, honey, I want to please you so you can enjoy looking at me. And then most husbands want a wife they can be proud of to call their own little hidden treasure. In Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, they that may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, that's chaste.
Mm-hmm. We older women are to teach the younger women to be chaste, pure in thought, word, and act, and to be modest and honorable in all things. A chaste woman is modest. A chaste woman is pure. God speaks about a woman maintaining her chastity and purity by the clothes she wears. In 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, in the Passion Translation, it says, "Women would also pray with clean hearts, dressed appropriately and adorned modestly and sensibly, not flaunting their wealth, but they should be recognized instead by their beautiful deeds of kindness, suitable as one who worships God." God says that a woman's clothing should profess godliness. A chaste woman is careful with her clothes, her hair, and her adornments, not just her mouth, because they all make a loud profession to all who see her that she is modest and godly, or the opposite, that she's immodest and ungodly. The world sees how we look, how we act, and how we talk. That's really what represents what's on the inside of us to the world, because if they don't really know us, all they know is what they see and what they hear. What message do you give off to the world around you?
Our Heavenly Father has dress standards. Clothes speak to all who see us. Clothes make a constant profession of declaring loudly our true heart condition and our attitude toward ourselves and toward those who see us, drowning out the words sometimes.
Mm-hmm. When I want to tease or entice my husband, a slight change in my clothes and demeanor is all that it takes to get his attention. But that's in private. Men are very different from women. Our demeanor and dress can cause men to stumble with lust, and that can be sinful for us if we're being immodest. Nowadays, people think I can dress how I want and do what I want, but you know, that's really a selfish attitude, because if the way we dress causes any men around us to stumble, then that's very selfish and it is sinful. We can cause men who want to stay pure and holy great difficulty, and that does not communicate godliness on our part.
Men have a visual drive that women cannot understand. The way you dress can cause a man to stumble, and that does not bring righteousness in you or in him.
Now, I'm an older woman, and I'm telling you younger women that it is the will of God for you to always be modest in public. It is your profession of godliness to the world.
All of life is living within boundaries. God has given you a precious gift that keeps you pretty and desirable to your husband, who has loved you since you were young and pretty. And even though your youth is gone, those of you who are older women, and your skin looks like alligator boots and sags a lot, if you are being a godly wife, your husband will see the beauty he fell in love with all those years ago.
A wise woman seeks to make herself more lovely, and she is thankful to be loved. We want our husbands to continue to love us and consider us pretty, but we need to put forth a little effort sometimes. Chuck Swindoll always says, "If the barn needs painting, paint it."
I didn't say that.
Chuck Swindoll said that, and it always made me laugh. But what he's saying is, if you need some makeup to look your best, then put it on, honey. All right, changing the subject. The next thing that the Proverbs teaches about a godly wife is that she provides companionship for her husband.
Proverbs chapter 31, verses 11 and 12 say, "Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life."
A husband needs and wants a companion and best friend. This gives us the opportunity, ladies, to share adventures and new experiences together with him. If you will step into that role with joy, enjoy your husband. Let him know you think he's wonderful. Sam, I think you're wonderful.
I'm Mr. Wonderful.
That's how we felt at the start, so why can't we continue that? As you grow in your friendship, you will also be growing more in love with each other. At the core of every healthy marriage is a healthy friendship.
God gave Adam the most precious gift a man will ever receive, a woman, his wife.
I know this because Sam tells me quite often that I am his best buddy.
That's true.
His best friend, his helpmate.
I love to be with this woman.
Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And then God brought her unto the man," in verse 22. Later, in Proverbs 18:22, God tells us, "Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord." Ladies, has your husband found a good thing by finding you? Are you still a blessing to him all these many years later? Do you see? God said it is not good for a man to be alone, and the answer to his need is a wife, and she is called a good thing. And a man finds God's favor by getting a wife. If you're a wife, you were created to fill a need, and you are a good thing as you walk in that role. And a very important part of that is being a helpmeet. his helper, and his friend.
No man can be as effective as God planned him to be without the wonderful wife beside him, helping and encouraging and facing life together, being friends in the good times and the bad times. Friends lock arms and make it through life together. God created you, ladies, to have this role in our lives.
When you're a helpmeet to your husband, you are honoring Jesus Christ. When you honor your husband, you honor God. When you serve your husband, you serve God. If you feel unsure about this, read 1 Corinthians 11:8 and 9, where it says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man." Regardless of who you are or what your talents may be, God's will is that you be a suitable helper to your husband. 1 Corinthians 7:34 says, "But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband." Our role of being perfectly fit helpmeet to our husband does not make us inferior to him. It just means that God gave us different roles. We're to help our husbands do his job better. As his best friend, we can lift him up, we can encourage him, and help him be more productive and efficient at whatever God has directed him to do. I want to quote something directly from a book called Created to Be His Helpmeet by Debbie Pearl. Quote, "If he can trust you, he will make you his closest advisor, his confidant, his press secretary, his head of state, his vice president, his ambassador, his public relations expert, maybe even his speechwriter." Unquote. Your husband will be so blessed if you are this kind of friend, helper, and encourager to him. He will receive honor from other people as they admire and compliment his helpful wife. And let's end today's program with Proverbs 12:4. "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband." Ladies, it is our assignment from God to find every possible way to help our husband and to encourage him, honor him, bring respect to him, support him, look your best for him, and be the best companion and friend. He will be so truly blessed when you are this kind of wife. We hope you have a heart's desire to honor God by becoming this kind of wife to your husband. God will help you. Just ask him.
We want to thank Dave Willis, author of 7 Laws of Love, and Debbie Pearl, the author of Created to Be His Helpmeet, for many of the great ideas we have shared with you today. And remember, you can have the marriage of your dreams when you choose to do it God's way.
Have a blessed week, and ladies, we hope this gives you all kinds of ideas on how to have a better marriage.
So have a great marriage this week, and we'll be back next week right here on KCGS Radio at 9 a.m. to bring you new ideas to help you keep the spark you had at the start. Bye now.
This is Bible Principles with Dr. Gene Getz.
Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you felt that God was not true to his promises? This happened to a man named Ethan, who penned Psalm 89. He wrote these words,
"You have repudiated the covenant with your servant. You have completely dishonored his crown. Lord, where are the former acts of your faithful love that you swore to David in your faithfulness?"
God, of course, had not repudiated the covenant he made with David. And so it is with us today. What may appear to be a lapse in God's faithfulness to us is a matter of timing in our limited perspective. Thankfully, we have many testimonies that even when some believers face death because of persecution, they sense God's abiding presence. The facts are, God never promised that we would not suffer because of our faith, but we have been promised that God will not forget our faithfulness in times of trial. He'll never forsake us. Listen to what Peter wrote.
"Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you."
God is indeed true to his word. So let's remember this principle to live by. We should rely on God to keep his promises, even though it may appear he's not faithful.
The Bible principle you've heard today comes from the Life Essentials Study Bible by Dr. Gene Getz. To hear today's principle again, go to BiblePrinciples.org. That's BiblePrinciples.org.
Thank you, Cindy's Salon and Spa, located at 202 Zach Road in Marshall, Arkansas, for your financial support of KCGS 88.1 FM, Family Hope Radio.
You give and you take, but you stay the same. You are so, so good. In seasons of plenty, in seasons of pain.
Preparing the Way of the Lord. You're listening to 88.1 FM KCGS, Marshall, Arkansas.